Sean Clancy's most recent release has the composer slipping away from his familiar role. He describes some musical materials, but leaves what exactly they might add up to with the performers, who'll take on the work. It's an approach which might almost as much be about a philosophy as a musical strategy. One constant inspiration for the composer is his, let's call it, interest in numbers and count, such as in his 14 minutes of music on the subject of greeting cards, or his 11 lines of music slow down and eventually stop, or even his 10 minutes of music on the subject of IKEA. Sean Clancy talked to Culturefile about his latest piece, Four Sections of Music Equally Divided, and began by talking about that special relationship with numbers.
It's definitely been in a lot of music that I've written. I always just remember counting. I don't know when it started. It just kind of seems to be a thing that I've done as long as I can remember. Like, I remember kind of counting how many steps it would take me to get between slabs of concrete on the street outside my house. And it drives my wife mad because I count, like, you know, how many counts I do to wash dishes, and how many counts it takes me to kind of get from point A to point B, or how long something should last for. So I'm basically always counting. There's a British composer called Leo Chadburn, and he wrote a piece for a group called Decibel, which is run by the Irish composer Ed Bennett. They did a piece of Leo's, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, which I saw. And in it, it was a piece for ensemble and a kind of a tape track narrator. And the tape track narrator was Leo going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it was like being inside my mind. And I said to Leo afterwards, I said, that's exactly what my life is like. It's basically just anytime I'm not like actively speaking or actively thinking, I'm basically counting.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
So it's measures. It's not sort of open-endedly counting to infinity. You're counting measures all the time.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Like when I'm running, for example, I run about 3 or 4 times a week, and I'm running for about 25, 26 minutes. And in that situation, I count to, I usually get to, like, you know, 1,200 or something like that. The ways it's kind of fed into music over the years is that I suppose a lot of the music that I wrote up until around 2017 or thereabouts was very strictly measured, and time signatures were changing all the time, and you were getting these situations where you would have counts like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and you'd have things like that going all the time. And in a way, that was kind of externalizing or translating what was going on in my mind, I suppose, what kind of happened to me, you know, since around 2017. It started causing me a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, and I kind of had to distance myself from what was going on here to what I was asking other people to do.
It seems like when in the new piece, you're almost answering yourself in how far away you get from that. So it's four sections of music and equally divided is like, that's a top-down kind of look. What's going on beneath that is freer, I guess.
Yeah, it's much, much freer. This was one of the first kind of pieces. I think it's probably the second piece I wrote where I kind of made a conscious decision to really kind of open things up and enable much more agency from the people that are performing the music. In this recording that just came out a couple of weeks ago, I'm playing it, but it's been performed by other people. I've performed it with professional musicians, I've performed it with students, I've performed it with people who aren't necessarily musicians. it was a kind of, I suppose, an exercise in doing something that I was excited to do, but also gave a lot of agency to the people that I would be doing it with, instead of me kind of saying, everything must be like this, everything must be super strict, everything must be on this beat and that beat, and you must interlock with those people. The only thing that's fixed in it really are, there's some pitches that are fixed, but they're ordering, or, you know, how it might be in counterpoint with one person or another person, is not fixed. And there's no indication of whether the work is sequential or if it's simultaneous. So you could have section one, section two, section three, and section four all happening simultaneously, in which case the piece would be like 13 minutes or something.
And loud.
Or it could be completely sequential as it is in this example.
I guess when you've recorded it, people will assume that that way you've played it is something close to canon.
When I was much younger, I really liked getting recordings of composers performing their own music. When I was like 17 or 18 and getting into music in a big way, like, you know, contemporary classical music, I kind of felt that was like, you know, the most authentic, inverted commas, way of hearing the piece. Specifically, just popped into my mind, there's a recording of Luciano Berio's Labyrinthus 2. And I remember listening to the recording and thinking it was great. And yeah, it was Berio conducting and it was super. And this is like kind of the definitive recording. And then I saw a performance in the Living Music Festival in Dublin in 2003. And it was so much more energetic, and it was so much more kind of cool improvisation, and the narration I preferred. I think it was Terry Edwards was narrating it. It was so much better, and Berio had kind of no involvement in the performance of it at all. So then I kind of started thinking, and I was in first year in college or something, and started questioning about, you know, whether a composer's interpretation is the best. And I think now I know enough really amazing musicians, and most people I know would do a much better job on this piece than
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, one. Sean Clancy there, and we'll have the second part of that conversation next time on Culture File.